want to thank the Reverend Porter and the session here in Enniskillen for the invitation even to come here and just share with you even what the Lord has done for me, even my life, even thus far. I wonder could we turn in the Word of God to Psalm 121, Psalm 121, please. Very well-known psalm. I'm sure many of us learned it even in Sunday school and children's meetings, etc. So, Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. And the Lord will bless even the reading of his precious word. We'll just bow and ask for the Lord's presence and even the Lord's help tonight. Father in heaven, we just thank you, Lord, for thy precious word. Lord, we just pray tonight that thou wilt come and speak, Lord, even to each of our hearts. We pray, Lord, for help from thyself. Lord, I confess without thee tonight, we can do absolutely nothing. How we need thee to come. We need thy help. We need thy help to open up thy precious word this night. Lord, we pray for all that are gathered in. We pray, Lord, that I would speak to each and every one. Remember, especially the unsaved tonight. Pray that that word in season, that they would realize, Lord, like never before, they must be saved, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's only through Christ and Christ alone, Lord, that they can be saved. Lord, we just pray now that thou would continue with us, and we would know thy presence in a very real way. In our Savior's precious name we ask it. Amen. I was born in Newtownards, the youngest of three. I had two older sisters, and we lived even on a farm. Both my parents were saved and loved the Lord and sought to teach us even from a very early age that we were born in sin and that we were sinners in the eyes of God and that we needed God's salvation. It was only through Christ and Christ alone. And I thank the Lord for having saved parents. A real blessing, young people. I would encourage you, never take for granted the fact that your parents are saved and they teach you even in the things of God. We were taken along to lots of different meetings, even each week. We belonged to the Presbyterian Church in Newtownards. My father was an elder there, and my father also ran with a couple of other men the Craigantlet Mission Hall, just a mile or so up the road, and was very involved with the local Faith Mission Prayer Union. So on a Sunday, we started off in Sunday school in the church, and then stayed for the morning service, and then sometimes a meeting in the afternoon, and then up to the mission hall on Sunday night, and then back to the church for the youth fellowship. So Sunday was a busy day, even in our house. And during the week, if there was any gospel campaigns on, we were taken along to those meetings and children's meetings, etc. And as I said from the very start, I knew of my need to be saved. I knew that the rest of my family were saved, and I was not. I knew that if I died, that I would go even to a lost eternity in hell. But that was as far even as it went. Brought up in a Christian home, but not saved. Knew all about God's salvation. Knew the Word of God, but not saved. You know, even back to in those days, I remember even a lot of the men that came to preach in the mission hall, they always talked about the return of the Lord. You know, I had always a great fear that the Lord would come back and even take my family home and I would be left behind. So I knew very clearly that I was not right, even in the eyes of God. But you know, one night at the age of 11, we were taken along to a tent mission in Bangor. You know, I don't remember the name of the evangelist that was preaching on that night, but I remember one thing. It was as if I was the only person in that great tent. There was over 1,000 people there that night. But as the evangelist was preaching the gospel, you know, that night my heart was touched. I knew like never before that I wasn't saved. I knew that I was a sinner. And I knew that all my going to church and my relying on my parents' salvation was not enough. God's word tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. One way and only one, through Christ and Christ alone. Through the finished work of the cross, at Calvary. I knew I could do nothing even to save myself. And it was what the Lord Jesus Christ had done, what the debt that he had paid for my sin. He had taken my place there upon the cross of Calvary, and he had shed his precious blood even for my sin. There that night, in that tent at the end of that meeting, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart and to take my sin away and give me everlasting life. And praise the Lord, he did. You know, I had heard many people give their testimonies, especially in the mission hall in different places, and they always used to talk about the time they got saved and how they felt. And you know, I knew exactly how they felt now. I knew that wonderful feeling of knowing our sins are forgiven and that we were on our way even to heaven. You know, that night I couldn't get home quick enough. I remember running down over the field. My granny's house was just down over one field. Knocked the door and told her the good news that another one of her grandchildren had got saved, and she was rejoicing. But you know, maybe you're here tonight. You know, you are, as I was, brought up in a Christian home, taken along to many different meetings, week by week, you know, and you could quote even many verses of Scripture, brought up in the things of God. Maybe you feel that the fact that your parents are saved, or the fact that you have can go to the church on a Sunday twice and meetings during the week, you think somehow this will find favor with God on that great judgment day. Friend, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation tonight is through Christ and Christ alone. Not through anything that we have done, but through Christ and Christ alone. Not our churchiosity or our religiosity, through Christ. And as I said at the start, I was brought up on a farm. And as far back as I can remember, you know, that was all I ever wanted to do, was to come home and work on the farm with my father. And I'm sure there's probably some boys and girls even here like that tonight. You are as I was. But you know, I didn't enjoy school. And I remember the first day of secondary school. I remember going into the big assembly hall. I remember staring all round at this big hall, the newness of it, and all the boys standing in this big hall. I remember looking at these letters. They're way up high at the top of the wall. And it simply said up there, if your birthday falls between July and August, you can leave school when you're 15. You know, when I saw those words, I said, that'll do me. That's exactly what I'll do. And I got through the next 4 years of school. And at the age of 15, around April time, I left school without any O-levels or GCSEs at that time. I went home to work with my father on the farm. You know, I was just so happy. But you know, as you would expect, when I tried to encourage our own children to work hard at school and to do their exams and get qualifications, needless to say, they're always very quick to remind me, sure, Daddy, you never did any exams, so you needn't talk. So I had to watch and be careful even what I said. But I was now at home, happy, doing what I loved. I thank the Lord, you know, at that time, I had good Christian friends to run about with. You know, it's so, so important, young people, that you have good Christian company. You know, we went to all the different meetings that were going on, the youth rallies and all that took place in those days. And probably, you know, we weren't always going for the right reasons, probably sometimes just going to see the talent and who was there. But yet still, we were in God's house and we were sitting under the Word of God and we were able to encourage one another, even in the things of God. I thank the Lord tonight for those Christian friends. And I really encourage you young people here, seek out the company of God's people. You know, if you seek your company in the world, they'll take you away, even from the Lord. Seek good, solid Christian friends. You know, around that time, I started going to Cumber Free Presbyterian Church. I was praying about where the Lord would have me to go and started going there. Started to get involved in the different meetings that were going on. And after a period of time, came into membership. But you know, still there was something missing in my life. Still something that just was holding me back from really going on with God. I remember one night the Reverend Samuel Murray, he was a minister there at that time, just in the wee hall, just in the stones there, just in front of the new church. And I remember saying to me one night, he says after a meeting, he says, you know, Colin, see if the Lord calls you into his service. He says, you'll have to go. He says, you'll have to go. And you'll have to leave behind the farm and the cattle and all of the things that you love. You'll have to go and serve the Lord. I know it didn't mean much at the time, but as I went home that night, those words came back and went over and over and over in my head. I know as time went on, Again, these words each day kept coming back. I had no peace in my heart. Many times I had said, Lord, your will be done in my life. But they were just words, didn't really mean it. I had my ideas. I had my mind made up. And I knew exactly what I wanted to do. But you know, about 2 weeks later, the Lord brought me to the point where I was able to get down the side of my bed. And I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. If you want me to go and serve you in the mission field or wherever, I'll go and leave the farm and everything else behind. You know, what a real sense of the presence of God I had then. You know, it's so important that we are in the will of God. So easy to say it, yes, Lord, your will be done in my life, but not really mean it. Well, I would encourage us all to be seeking God's will, to seeking to be living in the center of the will of God. But you know, I want to bring you up to the September 1995. We were just finished the harvest that year. It had been a good year for crops, and they were all cut early. And we were drying grain and drawing it into Thompson's Mill in Belfast. You know, I'd put a load on that Monday morning onto the trailer and went and fed the cattle, but all of a sudden I started to feel very unwell. I had a sore head, something that I'd never had even before, and it just seemed to get worse and worse. And I thought, I'll go and lie down for an hour or so, and then I'll be able to go in with this load. But you know, even the very light shining into the room was making me worse. But you know, I have a very great fear, still have, had back then, still have now, a very great fear of hospitals and doctors, and especially needles. Not the ones we put into the cattle, mind you, but the ones that the doctors and the nurses use. You know, I had never been ill in my life. And you know, whenever I was asking my mother to get a doctor, she knew there was something wrong. She knew that I was not well at that time. The doctor came out and they sent me straight down to the Ulster Hospital in Dundonald. And there they gave me medication to ease the pain. But you know, it didn't make much difference. And they sedated me, and the next day they moved me up to the neurosurgical ward in the Royal Victoria Hospital. They did several scans on my head and discovered that there was fluid had built up between my brain and my skull, and it was this fluid that was giving me even the pain. And they decided that this fluid would have to be removed and would have to operate to get it drained away. You know, as I said, I was not a good patient and had a great fear of even doctors, etc., never mind what was facing me now at this time. But you know, I had a wonderful sense of the presence of God. I had no fear whatsoever of what lay ahead. And you know, it wasn't that my faith was strong at that time. 2 Corinthians 12 and the verse 9 tells us, for my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God gave me the grace and the strength at that time, not before, not after, right at the very time that I needed the Lord's presence and his help, I had it. You know, as I was wheeled down through the corridors to have that operation, I had no fear whatsoever. You know, I knew that I was in the one who we read of in Psalm 121. I was in his hands. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. I was in his care. The one that had created all things, the one that spoke this very world into existence, he was looking after me at that time. You know, the operation was done, and the pain eased. After a week or so, I was allowed even to go home. The doctor seemed to think that this was a problem sorted, and the pain was gone, and I didn't need to worry even any more about it. I was home for about a week, and then on a Saturday night, some friends came to see me. And we sat and talked, and all of a sudden I could feel the pain coming back into my head again. So I excused myself and went up to bed, but that night it just got worse and worse. So much so that I had to go back even into the Royal Victoria Hospital again. They sedated me again to take away the pain and did more scans. And on the Monday and Tuesday, the thing just got worse and worse, and I was getting very, very weak. I tried again to operate and to drain the fluid away, but it didn't make any difference. The pain was just as bad as ever. As I say, I was getting to the stage where I couldn't hardly even move in the bed. I was just so weak and so weary. And on the Wednesday, they did another scan. And this time it showed up that there was a cyst on my brain and it was leaking. And that was the cause of the fluid building up between my brain and my skull. The surgeons came up to see me even on the Wednesday evening, to talk about the operation. They said, we're going to have to operate tomorrow morning and get this sorted out. Remember him saying, you know, this is a very serious operation. You know, just where this cyst is, it's in a very difficult position. And you know, you could end up being paralyzed even during this operation. Or even if worse comes to worse, you may not even make it through it. You know, it was a real challenge to me even at that time. I thanked him for coming up to speak to me and said I would see him in the morning. You know, I remember a wee nurse came in to get me to sign the forms for the operation. We got talking and I discovered that she was saved. And I said to her, you know, I said, just tell me this. How does someone that's not saved go into surgery and not know if they're going to wake up again? You know, she just turned around and says, you know, it's very, very simple. They just hope for the best. That's all they can do. They just hope for the best. But you know, I thank the Lord tonight, that night, that I wasn't hoping for the best. Again, it wasn't my faith that was strong. It was that God was giving me the grace I needed right at that time. You know, I remember praying that night. I said, Lord, you know, if it's your will to take me home in the morning, then that's fine. That's fine. If that's what you want, yes, Lord, I'm happy with that. But I also said, Lord, you know, I've done nothing worthy of going home to glory. I just simply said, Lord, your will be done. You know, I believe it was harder even at that time for my family, even than it was for me. I was just there. There was nothing I could do. And I believe it was a very difficult time even for them. You know, that night, I had a great night's sleep. The whole time, slept right through to the morning and woke up and was taken even down to theatre. Again, all the way there, I had a wonderful sense of the presence of God. That Psalm 121, the verse 3 tells us, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth thee will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord was my keeper that day. He was my keeper. He was taking care of me. What had I to fear? What lay ahead? You know, the operation was done. They woke up with a very sore head the next day. The doctors were happy with how it had gone, and the cyst had now been removed. The next day, my head was still very sore, but the progress seemed to be okay. But then, on the Saturday, infection had set into my head, and it started to swell up. So much so, by the Sunday morning, one of my eyes was completely closed, and the other barely open. I was now very seriously ill because of the infection. I remember the Reverend Samuel Murray coming in to see me even before church that Sunday morning. I was just lying there, totally unable to respond to him. Could just see him there, and that was the height of it. I knew myself I was very, very low at this time. The doctors had told my mother and father that the next few hours, you know, was very, very critical. My life was just in the balance. They said it could go even either way. But, you know, I couldn't read and I couldn't pray at that time. Yet I could feel the arms of the Lord around about me, and He was going to see me through. You know, God always draws near to His people at the right time. At the very time that we need them, God draws near. He says in His word, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, that Sunday afternoon, there was a special prayer meeting held even in our own church in Cumber. And many of God's people in the other churches and round about, and friends and family, were all praying, especially for me. And you know, God heard and God answered them. And just as quickly as that infection had set into my head, the infection started to ease and the swelling went down. And on Tuesday morning, I was sitting up in bed eating my breakfast. Even the doctors and nurses couldn't believe how quickly I recovered. The Lord had really touched my head, and by the Wednesday, I was back home again. You know, by the weekend, I was even able to climb onto a tractor, and I shouldn't have been, but just putting some silage into the cattle, it just meant so much to be able just to be out and do one wee thing. You know, I wasn't allowed to drive for 6 months at that time because of the operation, and was told to take 6 months off work. But you know, every day I was getting stronger. And every day I was able to do wee small jobs around the farm. And long before the 6 months were up, I was back to normal. I had to meet the surgeon after 6 months for review. And he told me that I had had a full and a complete recovery, and that he was discharging me and didn't want to see me even again. You know, I have spoke to several people, even funny, a lady just yesterday who had the exact same thing about the same time that I went through this operation. She has had about 14 or 15 operations since that time, never fully recovered. Every so often, they have to go in and do a procedure again. Now, I thank the Lord that the Lord put his healing hand upon me and answered the prayers of his people and brought me even through that time of illness. We give the Lord all the glory and all the honor even for what he did for me, even at that time. And as I said, I wasn't allowed to drive for 6 months, but there was a young lady who started coming to Cumber Church at that time. And through the meetings and the hearing of the word of God, the Lord saved her. And it wasn't long before Linda was involved in the work of the church also. And after any of the meetings, Linda was always very quick to offer me even a lift home. Anywhere I needed to go, Linda was ready to take me. And needless to say, it wasn't long until we were going out at the start of 1996. And by November of the same year, we were married. I thank the Lord for Linda. The Lord brought us together. And we clearly knew that it was God's will for us to be husband and wife. And you know, to those that are maybe here tonight at this stage, even in your lives, you know, seek the will of God for who you should marry. Let the Lord be your guide. So, so important that you marry in the will of God. Most importantly, remember to marry someone that's saved. Seek out those that are saved. We don't want the unequal yoke. Seek to the Lord even who the Lord would have you to marry. And since then, the Lord has blessed us with 4 children, Isaac, Caleb, Faye, and Solomon. We thank the Lord even for saving each one of our children. Not long after we were married, we opened a shop. At that time, we believed it was what the Lord would even have us to do. But you know, even in our business, on the farm, and in the shop, we give the Lord all the glory for what he has done for us even as a family. We have always sought to put into practice 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, where God says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." You know, we of ourselves can do absolutely nothing. But it's only with the Lord's help and his blessing that we can do anything. There have been many difficulties, many trials, many problems. Many times we've struggled even to see a way ahead, yet the Lord has helped us through and carried us through. And even over the last year or so of COVID, you know, the Lord has really blessed us. And the Lord has given us many promises from his word and put a shield upon ourselves and our business and our staff and enabled us to keep going. And again, we give the Lord even all the glory for that tonight. You know, as I finish tonight, I want to leave just a few simple thoughts. I wonder if you turn your Bibles. Luke chapter 12, please. Luke chapter 12. And the verse 16. The parable even of the rich fool. Luke 12 and 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided?" As I said, this is a parable even of the rich fool or the rich farmer. You know, it says there that the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. There was a good harvest here. It had been a good year. You know, even in the past year, we would say that this has been a very good year, even for farmers, especially the farmers up in the west, because you got your land's a wee bit heavier than ours down in the east, and you were probably able to graze away at your cattle and cut your silage, etc., whereas I think for about 10 or 12 weeks down in the east, we hadn't a blade of grass anywhere, and every animal was getting feed, but that's not always the case. But we can say there was a good harvest here. We're reading about in the Word of God, the ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. We see, firstly, that this man prospered. You know, from the very outset, we have to say that there's nothing wrong with being successful in business or in other things. Even those who are successful, even if you're successful in that job that you're in, you've gained promotion, We have to say to those who work hard and do well, it's very commendable. There's nothing wrong with that thus far. As long as that we remember who and where our prosperity even comes from. Does prosperity come from ourselves, or is it of the Lord? We must look at the Word of God for that answer, and the Lord tells us very clearly in Psalm 75 and the verse 6 and 7, "For promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge, and he putteth down one and setteth up another." So it is the Lord that raises one up and puts another down. This man was a farmer, we're told forth that his ground brought forth plentifully. He had had a bumper harvest that year. He had had big yields. His crops had grown well, and he had a bountiful harvest. Maybe you say here tonight, you're a wee bit like this man. You're very proud even of what you have achieved. This has been a good year, and you feel that the good management of your crops has resulted even in that great yield. But you know, we must remember, where did the rain come from and the heat to germinate the grain? Where did the sun come from that was needed even to ripen that grain? And where did the good weather come from when those fields even were ready to harvest? 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 7 tells us that. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watered, but it's God that giveth the increase. We are reminded that we can sow and we can cut, but it's only through God's goodness to all of us that we have the increase. Just through God's goodness that we have the increase. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel it because you've looked after even the animals in your possession, that they have multiplied and you've been able to expand. And again, it's all down to your good husbandry. But you know, Psalm 50 and the verse 10 tells us, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills." Friends, God tells us in our word, in his word, who owns the cattle. Who allows them to bleed and multiply? It is the Lord. They are his. And all that we have, whether it be land or whether it be livestock, our homes, our cars, our bank accounts, it all belongs to the Lord. We're only looking after what the Lord has given to each one of us. And we need to set that always before us, whether we're saved or not. Every good and perfect gift, it cometh from the Lord. Even consider the very health and strength that we've enjoyed even here in the past week to enable us to go to our business and do our business and go to that place of work, or even go to that university or that school, or even for that mother to be able to work in that home and care for the family. Because of the health and strength that God has given to us, we have been enabled to do those things. You know, as we've said and we've looked at even my own testimony, these things, this health and strength, can be taken from us very quickly, in an instant, and then we could do absolutely nothing. But you know, we see this man prospered, but we see something else about this man. He planned. He prospered, and then he planned. It says there in the verse 17, "And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Again, nothing wrong with what he did there in the verse 18. He had a problem. This man had a very big problem. The harvest was so good that his barns couldn't hold the bumper crops. So he had to do something about it. You know, he just couldn't pile the crops up in the yard and leave them lying out to rot in the bad weather. He had to do something about it. And he thought about it, and he planned, and he expanded. He built bigger sheds and better sheds to hold his crops. He sat down, and he made a plan. He came up with a solution to his problem, and that was all, yes, was the right thing to do. But we see the problem, even with his plan, in the verse 19, when he said to himself, "I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." He planned only for one thing. He planned only for his physical enjoyment and pleasure. He wanted to sit back and look at his new barns filled to capacity and live for many years just enjoying the pleasures even of the world. Planning, yes, it is very important in life. We must all make plans each and every day in all that we have to do, but you know, even more so for the future. And most importantly, the most important planning of all is for where we will spend even eternity. How many today, and maybe even some here listening online or even here in this meeting, have made plans for every eventuality. They have planned and invested in this and that so that at certain times, whenever maybe a child needs educated, or maybe there'll be a wedding, or maybe even for their retirement, they've made plans for all of these things. They have insurance for every eventuality that could happen. And again, there's nothing wrong with these things. But sadly, like this very successful man in the Word of God, they have not made plans even for eternity. God has brought into their plans. God has not been brought even into their plans. God says in Proverbs 3 and the verse 6 in his word, "In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." We are to acknowledge God in all that we do. This man we read of had no thought of God, no thought of eternity, no thought of where he would spend eternity, no thought of God or the Word of God or anything whatsoever. All he was interested in was his possessions and his wealth and his physical well-being and his pleasure and his happiness. Very, very sad even to end up planning like that and not planning even for eternity. Plan for life. But sadly, he did not make plans for his death. You know, we see his prosperity. We see how he planned, but now we see how he perished. Verse 20, God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided?" God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul should be required of thee." God called him a fool. Why? Because he had no thought of God in life or in death. And sadly he died and went to a lost eternity in hell. How solemn. How he worked and how he labored. How he planned. But then how he died. How he died. Went out into a lost eternity in hell. His wealth, his crops, his land. What did he take with him? Nothing. Not a single thing did he take out of this world of all that he had gathered. You know, that is why we can say that we're only looking after what God has given to us. And one day we'll leave it all behind, our houses, our cars, our lands, our livestock, our wealth. It'll all be left behind. The only thing that matters is that we're saved and we're ready to meet the Lord. And what's done for him? That's all that matters in our lives, what's done for the Lord. You might say to me tonight, you know, why do I need to be saved? You might say, "I've lived a good life. I've never done anyone any harm. I've been very involved in my church and been there for many years, and I've read my Bible and I pray to the Lord all the time." Friends, God says in Romans 3 and the verse 23, "For all have sinned." That wee word, all, each and every one, includes us all, rich, poor, no matter who you are, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are sinners in the eyes of God. It doesn't matter who we are or what we are done. I know that we of ourselves can do nothing to take this sin away. It is only through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, by taking our place upon the cross, by giving his life for us, by taking our punishment that we deserved and bearing it all upon his own body, that you and I can be saved. How? How can we be saved tonight? By simply coming and putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for you there upon the cross, by calling upon his name, and he will save you. You know, be sure to have planned well. You know, we have made preparation for eternity. Oh, I urge you tonight, if the Lord has been speaking to you through his word, do not put off unto another day. You might say, "I have plenty of time." I agree with everything you're saying. Yes, we need to plan. We need to prepare. I agree with you, and someday I'm going to get saved. But you know, friends, tonight, God describes our lives as a vapor that very quickly passeth away. We know how the vapor's on the window 1 minute and even gone the next. You know, I remember even when I was in hospital the second time, I remember one Sunday afternoon, and there was a man opposite me, he hadn't been well, and he had started to get better, and he was on the way to recovery, and his two daughters would come in, and they sat down at the side of the bed, and they were talking away to him. You know, all of a sudden, this man just slumped down in the bed, and the two daughters started crying, "Daddy, wake up, Daddy, wake up." And they ran and got the doctors and the nurses, and they ran down and they pulled the curtains round, and they worked with that man what she seemed like a very short time. Probably it wasn't, it was probably a good while, but after a while they all came out and pulled the curtains round and left them closed. And that man had died and gone out into eternity in an instant, just in an instant. You know, that really challenged me at that time, the brevity of life. How we can be here 1 minute and then eternity the next. You know, if you're thinking tonight about getting saved, I would urge you to get saved now. Do not put it off to another day. I was fit, I was strong, and I thought, I'll not take ill. And I was ill, and I was very seriously ill. The very same thing could happen even to any one of us at any time. Oh, I would really encourage you. The Lord's been speaking to you tonight that you would come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, to God's people, even here tonight, and I pray that even you would have been encouraged even through my testimony. And even to remember that we, everything that we have, it comes from God. God tells in his word to seek first the kingdom of God. We need to put God first even in our lives. We need to serve him. We need to do all we can even to see the those around us that are not saved, one for the Lord. And everything, we must not let the things of the world or our possessions or what we're doing or our business or whatever we have be a hindrance to us going on with the Lord. We need to serve the Lord now. We need to witness to those around us, tell them if they need to be saved while we have the health and strength even to do it. Whether that be on the farm or in the office or in school or university or even just in that home, God has a work even for all of us to do. And even for those who are not well, you know, pray on for them. Just as the Lord put his healing hand even upon me. Pray for those that you know and those of your friends and those of your family that are ill at this time, that the Lord would come and touch them and restore them even to health and strength. Pray for those that are not saved, even in their families and those that we work with. Pray for them that the Lord would speak to them and even show them his need of thee. Just want to thank you tonight for even being able to share this word of testimony, and I pray that the Lord would even encourage you through it and even speak to those of their need of salvation. We'll just hand back to Reverend Porter. Thank you.
Well, we do thank our brother Colin tonight for coming and sharing with us and telling of the Lord's saving grace and keeping power in his life. It's been a blessing and a challenge and encouragement to hear of how the Lord has blessed our brother, saved him and preserved him and kept him to this very day. And we pray the Lord will bless him and lead him on with himself and continue to use him for his honour and for his glory. But friend, what about you tonight in the meeting? You've heard of your need of salvation. You've been reminded of the brevity of life. You need to be saved and to prepare for eternity. It's not religion you need. It's not a church you need for salvation. It's Christ. He's the one you need to put your faith and trust in. If you're not saved tonight, oh, that you'd call upon the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Lord will hear your cry. The Lord will save your soul. He will forgive your sins. And he will take you to heaven. If you're a believer tonight in the Lord, we are encouraged even through the testimony. And to put the Lord first, to serve the Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God. And to live for the Lord day by day. We thank our brother for coming. And again, if you want to speak to him after the meeting, he'll be no hurry away. But he'll be glad to help you in any way that he can, even through the word of God. But friend not saved, come to the Lord. And believer, let us seek to live for the Lord and to live in the light of eternity. We're going to close our meeting tonight with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, tonight for thy presence in this meeting house, for the singing of your praises, for the reading of thy word. We thank thee for the words of testimony given tonight. We thank thee for that clear word of God's saving grace and God's keeping power in the life of our brother. Do bless all that has been said and done, we pray, to hearts and to souls in this meeting and to those also listening online. And Lord, for any tonight not saved, Lord, impress upon them, Lord, the need to be born again, the need to prepare for death, the need to prepare for eternity.
And, O Lord, help them to realize that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. May they be those that will trust the Lord and seek cleansing through the blood of Christ shed on Calvary's cross. Know what it is to rejoice in the joy and the knowledge of sins forgiven. Bless every believer in Christ in this gathering and listening in online as well. Encourage thy people. Help us to realize, O God, that the night cometh when no man can work. Help us, Lord, with health and strength and opportunity to seek first the kingdom of God and to live for thee, to live for thy word and thy truth and for the spreading of the gospel. And help us in our daily life, day by day, wherever we might be, to be a witness and to be a signpost, Lord, for thee. Accept of our thanks. Bless our brother. We thank thee for him and continue to bless him and to lead him on with yourself. And bless his wife and family, meet their every need and encourage them greatly in the Lord. Take us now to our homes in safety. Journey with us, we pray, and bless us each one in the week that lies before us. For we do pray and we do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks. Amen. Amen.
Brother and